Maybe my home's on the road. The road's the only place I feel at home. I don't know if I'm ever gonna get back again this way. The road's the only place I feel at home. Feel at home.
Hello and welcome to the My Home is on the Road show. My name is Dave Manning. This is the show where we bring you stories and music from the American road. The skinny on me, if you haven't heard it before, is that I make my living going up and down the West Coast in my 1965 Volkswagen bus and playing music in bars and casinos or wherever will pay the bills. And for the last 4 or 5, 6 weeks, I've been down in the state of Arizona. So the show is coming to you now from down in the Sonoran Desert. Near Phoenix, Arizona. And we're going to go on this week's show to an interview I recorded up in Sedona, Arizona, with an artist named Brandon Decker. So we're going to spend the show talking with Brandon and playing some tunes off of his new disc. And his new disc was kind of a vision. He showed up, he moved to Sedona, Arizona, and he had a number of songs he had written and stuff, and he just decided to set to work putting them on a disc, even though he didn't really know anybody else in town.
It's also like cool that you're like, okay, I want to make this album. So you just like, instead of a lot of people sit around, yeah, you know, I'm going to record, yeah, I'm working on an album someday, and blah blah blah. But you're just like, well, I don't know who I'm going to work with, but hey, I'm just going to start putting it together, and you put it together.
Yeah, you know, it's been a really transforming experience for me, the album from start to finish. I'm sure, like, when you decided you were going full-time into music, you know, like, I mean, like, it's funny how your life changes, you know, like, how your life changes, you know, like, and, you know, I started the album, it was just going to be 5 songs, and, you know, and then ended up being 11, and, you know, as I was wrapping it up, like, I felt like, well, what am I going to do now with this thing, you know, and I felt like, well, I just want to get it to as many people as possible. I want people to hear it, you know, and, like, how it's just changed my life, you know, like, the plans I'm making. Like, 6 months ago, I wouldn't have figured that I was going to quit my jobs and go try to tour, you know, full time.
Yeah, that's great. That's what I was going to ask you about next. So, like, you're planning a big California tour.
Well, big West Coast. I'm going to go from San Diego to ideally Vancouver. I tried to go to Canada last summer and they let me in, but after much grief, so hopefully they won't give me grief this time, and I want to go as far as Vancouver, but I'm definitely going to Seattle.
Can't wait to get out on the road.
Yeah, I can't wait. What I expect is I won't have to go clock in to some job at a restaurant for at least 7 weeks. I'm looking forward to that. I'm expecting, you know, to go have an adventure, you know, and play some music and hopefully build some relationships with some venues that I want to be able to return to and find some other ones that I can go to next time and find a few people who like the music and get them out next time and, you know, see the West Coast start to finish. The song 3 and 4 are actually a lot alike. I think they do go good back to back. I don't know if it was necessarily planned like that, but song 3 is kind of just how, I guess how some of us people, including myself, have a tendency to maybe attack ourselves at points in life, you know, and it's kind of somewhat biographical or autobiographical, you know, the different relationships I've had, and I don't know, it's probably the poppiest song on the disc. I don't know if there's a lot of depth to it. I think there's a lot of depth to the meaning, but not necessarily how it comes across in the song, but you know, it's a song just about people's, I guess, relationship with their struggles, and it's also kind of an ode to Portishead. I put the hip hop beat in it.
Cool.
You got the wrong song.
No. No, but I was wondering about that because that sticks out compared to some of the other
right.
songs.
Right, yeah, there's only a couple songs. I have two songs with some beats like that. Like, I'd had a hard time because I wrote the song acoustically. Like, I write all my songs, and I tried recording it a few different ways, and I couldn't find anything. And then one day I was messing with just some different stuff I had, and I found that beat, and I was like, oh, what if I did this, you know? And I like it. I really think it's got a good pop sensibility, but it's still kind of dark and, you know, it fits in with my... how I like to write music, you know, even though it's kind of poppy.
I'm still not sure if in that song, if you're saying friends like me or friends like these.
Oh, tell me, with friends like me, friends like me, tell me, who needs enemies?
Both.
Well, first, that was actually my best guess. I think he does it.
The first time through, I say friends like me, and the second time through, I say friends like these. That song's called Judas Kiss, and I mean, it really is in the same vein as the song before that. That song's just about like being my own worst enemy, you know. And I think again, like other relationships I've had, you know, with people who kind of dig their own graves, I guess. You know? But then that song kind of comes out with some hope, I think, at the end. It's kind of a darker song, but at the end of the song, I think it comes out with, like, kind of some, like, at least I think, like, kind of inspirational vibe, you know, this organ kicks in, you know.
And one of the things I like about that song in particular is the way, I mean, you got some good timing in it, but also the way that you've got that, you know, like the chorus that goes on, you know, friends are,
with
and
the,
then you, yeah, then at the end, yeah, you kind of skip over it with like a lead vocal.
Right.
And like, yeah, I think that works really well.
Yeah, I was really proud of that, actually. That's like a creative thing I came up with.
And I wasn't able to tell if, you know, those background vocals are you layering or if you are there other people.
There's only one song where I use other singer, and that's not it. But yeah, it's all me in there. When I started doing the album, I was just gonna do me and an acoustic, and then as I was working on it, I just felt like harmony. You know, harmonies just make everything better. You know, so I kept adding harmonies. I hate my voice. I don't know if you go through that at all, but I hate my voice. So I feel like harmonies kind of take the edge off and make it a little smoother and less abrasive.
Yeah, actually, yeah. I've been accused of using too much reverb.
I do that too. Reverbs and harmonies. Yeah.
And it's just like, well, and that's like a function of hiding a little bit. Would you rather have you, like, when I listened to it and I thought, I think that's him layered.
Right.
And to me, that always kind of like, I don't know, it seems more like real and earthy when it's actually different voices locked.
Definitely. You know, when I did that, I didn't, you know, when I moved up here, I didn't know any other musicians really, and I just started working on the album. I got a guy who sings it with when I play with a band in town, and he's in this local cover band. He's got a voice like butter, and the harmonies he does are like better than mine, you know. Totally. I would love to have two or three or four-way harmonies with other people. I agree with you. It's more organic and it's natural instead of like layered in me all over the place, but you know.
Layered in me.
But you know, it is what it is. I like my harmonies. So, you know, that's kind of a staple through the whole album. Yeah, if you listen, you know, like there's lots of harmonies.
Sit on my Lord, then you clench your fears. Really seal the deal. Sold out with a Judas kiss, my Maggie. He said it's all so trying. With your fingers crossed behind your back, is it still a light? Is it still a light? Like me.
you like me. Now you're walking in the dark, no matter how far out you are, like me. You like me.
All right, here's a question I try to ask all the, you know, musicians I interview is, you know, like 100 years from now, more than likely, you know, my discs and your discs and all the songs you are just be in a landfill somewhere. So what's the point?
Well, what's the point is, I guess, you know, I kind of disagree because I kind of feel like, you know, if we've made CDs, we've made something tangible, which I think is something different than a lot of people do in life. You know, I mean, like, we've created a piece of art that people can hear. I mean, your music's certainly, like, soulful and gritty and, you know, I mean, stories, you know, and stories about you. And I think the minute you've made something like that, you've left something tangible. You know, anyone who hears that has some experience, and that carries on in their day-to-day life, you know. I mean, it's a piece of art. You know, I've always looked at art of any kind as like, the, you know, whether it's film or, you know, painting I look at a museum, like as some thing that helps me cope with the difference between the way life is and the way it could be or should be, you know. And I think we've done that when we make music, you know. So, well, I guess what the point is A, like, I don't think a guy like you or me could do anything else, you know. And B, like, we've left something. We've created, you know. Not everyone creates, you know, except people knocking out a bunch of babies, you know. We created something, you know, meaningful, you know.
And what would you say to somebody that's listening to this that, you know, sits around and plays guitar and, you know, play some gigs around where they live, you know?
Well, like, I guess I just keep doing it. You know, I for me, it's always been a real struggle of self-doubt. Like, music's always, like, been my, and I don't know if it's like this for you, but, like my greatest inspiration, and it's, like, my greatest source of pain, you know? Like, I get real bummed out at points. I mean, there have been a lot of times where I've wanted to quit music, but I can't, you know? I can't. It's in me. It's what I want to do, you know? So just got to keep doing it. I guess that's what we all have to do. Yeah. Yeah, for me, it's not really a choice. It's like, I've tried to quit. I can't. It's the only thing I give a that I care about. You know, I can't care about it. I've tried day jobs. I've tried everything. The only thing that I have any passion about, you know, for my time investment is you know, making and playing music. So once I accepted that, really, it's been kind of a good thing. You know, I don't have to pretend I want to be a banker and have a career, you know.
Tell me, what did you expect to find? What did you expect to find?
Question, what's another song off the disc that you want to show off?
Well, you know, I think it might be one of the least pop sensible, but my favorite song on the disc is Princess of Cups, which is the song two after Judas Kiss. It's song number 6. It's, I think, my most poetic song I've ever written. I really love the words, the emotions. I wrote it in a real dark time, and then, you know, I really liked, like, the last 30 seconds of the song. I think are just, like, epic.
Epic.
I overuse it.
Thank you. That's about the last thing I got to say. Take it or leave it. You own my heart now, anyway. If that was a spark, my heart is now a fluttering flame. The smoke from these embers, just about enough to blot out the day, yeah, yeah. 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 If all that I'm left with is a memory, I just want to remember your face. The times you were dancing with me, and the dream that I dreamed before you shook me awake. If that was a spark, I thank you for your mercy when you put out the flame. Still my heart it smolders, just about enough to blot out the day, yeah, yeah. To blot out the day, yeah, yeah. To blot out the day, yeah, yeah. To blot out the day, yeah, yeah.
Safe travels.
Thanks for all your help, Dave.
Oh, yeah, well, no problem.
Till you goodbye, oh, last
last time I talked with Decker, he said his tour up and down the West Coast was all booked. He's playing a lot. He's actually playing an average of about 5 or 6 shows a week, so he'll be a busy guy. That's way more work than I usually book for myself. I want to give a big thank you to Groundswell Media Productions, the folks that put together my website, www.davemanning.net, where you can check out more about me, my music, and of course you can listen to the radio show or subscribe to the podcast. So I want to thank the crew with Groundswell Media Productions. So Groundswell Media Productions, just check them out online. And last time I talked to Nathan, the guy in charge there, he was telling me that he's got a rather unique philosophy about the fart.
We've made something tangible, which I think is something different than a lot of people do in life. You know, I mean, like, we've created a piece of art that people can hear. I mean, your music.
All right, safe travels and have yourself a fantastic day.
Well, my home's on the road. The road's the only place I feel home. Don't know if I'm ever gonna get back again this way. The road's the only place I feel at home. Feel at home.